السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فاتبع أحسنه. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is deserving His divine glory and majesty. And we send the best of salah and salam on our beloved, the beloved of Allah, Habibullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His remembrance, to His words, to understanding, to guidance, to obedience, to ikhlas and sidq, truthfulness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to internalize what we learn together of His words and to put them in action, because as we keep reminding each other always that it is not sufficient to know, it is essential to know, but the requirement is to act on what we know. Action, amal, not just ilm or knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth. The ultimate truth is the Quran, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, asdaq al kalam, the most truthful of words is Kitabullah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it in the best possible way that we can, and to show us batil, to show us falsehood as falsehood, and to keep away from it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do the best we can at all times. So today we are going to be studying together, inshallah, surah number 92, which is Al-Layl. And as you know, this is closely linked to the surah before it, which is Ash-Shams, which we have covered in the past. And there are many parallels and some contrast between the two surahs, as we remember from Surah Ash-Shams that it started with 11 of aqsam of oaths that Allah took, and then the jawab of the qasam and the consequences of people who have gotten the message, people who have rejected it. So keeping that framework in mind, we will start with this surah, which is also considered by most of the mufassirun as one of the early Makkan surahs. When we finish with this surah, and please remind me if I forget to cover that, is we should have a clear understanding of the haqiqa of wealth, of mal. What is the reality of mal that we all hanker for, that we all spend a lot of time after, that we all desire? What is the real haqiqa? What does it get you and what does it lead you to? And we will talk about that in the reflection at the end of the surah. So, Al-Layl, as all of you know, means the night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah with some aqsam. Qasam is an oath, as we have said before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes to bring our attention to something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by what He has created. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses some opposites in His creation. And the wisdom of what opposites highlight is that it brings one thing in contrast with another, so it makes both of them clear. So if there was only good in the dunya, we wouldn't appreciate it without seeing evil. When you see evil, it makes you appreciate good. Similarly, if it was all day, we wouldn't know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I were to make it day without night, what would you do? And if I were to make night endless, you know. So the contrasts are there to highlight each one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. So it starts with the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the night, yagsha, when it covers, when it envelops. So the night, as you know, if, as we see sometimes when we are traveling overseas, when they show you on the screen, you see the darkness coming and coming like an envelope to cover the earth. So the same thing, it's not a switch. Like the night comes on, it gradually comes on as a cover and covers everything. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. What does it cover is not mentioned. In the previous surah, يَغْشَاهَا, everything. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left the answers open. Literally, the ayah means, by the night as it covers. The darkness as it covers. Covers what? That's left to us. And as we know, in the physical sense, it covers everything. Everything becomes dark. The earth becomes dark. What we can't see clearly. Things become, many things come out in the night that are not in the day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the night covers everything. He swears by it. And then he says, in contrast, the opposite, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And by the day, when it brightens, when it becomes full of clarity, because when the sun comes out fully, everything becomes clear. Just the opposite of what the night does, where everything becomes hidden, you can't see anything. The night makes everything clear. The day makes everything clear. So now in our life, what is our experience? We are either in the day or we are in the night. So that essentially covers our whole existence. So there's another way of saying that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also swearing by time, because day and night is what time is. It's what life is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also taking an oath indirectly on all the astronomical events that occur in the universe, which brings day, which brings night. And of course, when we think of all of that, which is so fantastic and so complex and complicated, it should bring our heart immediately to, wow, and how about the one who created all of this? So we keep that in mind, that these oaths should also bring us in awe, in feel the azima, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the third qasam. He says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَ. Now, there are two understandings or two interpretations from the Mufassirun of what this ma means. Because there are different, the word ma in Arabic has multiple meanings. Sometimes it's used for denial. But there is something called ma mas'ula and ma masdariya. If we assume that this is ma of mas'ula, which means it is to be used as the one, as man, the one who, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I swear by the one khalaqa, who create dhakara, male, wal untha, and female. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is taking an oath on himself, because who created males and females? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere that we have created everything in pairs. The only one unpaired, with no partners, no associates, no spouse, no children, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is in pairs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath on himself and by the one who created the male and the female. If we take this ma, which is the other interpretation as what is called ma masdariya, it has to do with the creation itself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating, is swearing on the creation of the male and female. That look at how amazing this creation is, that everything has a male and a female, and they have a purpose of reproduction, a purpose for life to continue in all forms. There is male and female in the plants, there is male and female in the fish, there is birds, everything, there is a male and female. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought our attention to, now we can go and reflect on each one of these items, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the male and female complementary to each other. If we just take man and woman, they complement each other, they complete each other. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, nikah is like half of your deen, take care of the other half, because you know, they complement each other. One has strength in one way, one has strength in a different way. So one is more emotional, one is more logical. So if you put the two together between male and female, that makes a perfect unit, which is the family. So if we go into all of those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath. Look how wonderful is what He has created. The other interpretation, look how great is the one who created them. So these are the three aqsam, or the oaths that come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking the oath of that time, is also reminding us indirectly that time is valuable. Be mindful of your time, don't waste your time. Because as we notice these days, we were just talking yesterday, one salah after another, one day after another goes by so fast, you don't know. It goes by, it all blurs into one. Yet these are units which would make a huge difference in the akhirah. So after taking these oaths, this duality of opposites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now brings us to, what is this oath about? This is the bottom line of this. This is the main crux of this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna sa'yakum lashatta." Indeed, sa'yakum, sa'i is endeavor, to make effort, to work hard, to run, you know, to not to run, but to like pace very quickly, like we do sa'i at Hajj. You know, we walk briskly. Any effort, what we want to do, what motivates us to do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your efforts, sa'yakum, and there are different meanings. Was this addressed to the kuffar, or was it addressed to the believers, to the Muslims? It can be addressed, because again, it's open for everyone. That the believers are making their efforts, their endeavors, they're hastening to do certain things which hopefully are for the pleasure of Allah, whereas the opposite, the kuffar, are making efforts to oppose the deen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions at this time of in the early Meccan are making effort to present the deen, for the deen to prevail, and the opposite is coming, because that's how you see. So when we are faced with opposition, we shouldn't feel badly about it, because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constructed the system. That there will be good, there will be bad. So there is a push from here, there is a push from the other side. Khair versus shar. This struggle will go on. So there will always be believers and disbelievers that will be struggling against each other. Sometimes one gets the upper hand, sometimes the other gets the depending on their commitment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your efforts, whether it's Muslim, whether it's kafir, lashatta is indeed shatta. Shatta means something that's scattered, that's divergent. And generally it means that something that was together, which is now split into many, many different directions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that each one of us is has a different goal. Each one of us wants something different. Even those who want Jannah may want it more and make more effort, some less, and so on and so forth. in the dunya, some want to make an effort in this way, some in other ways, that all your efforts in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are scattered. They are in different directions. Okay? Why is he telling us that? So that we can know which direction, what effort we should be making. So after this key ayah of what the reality is, that everyone individually is making a different. Three children, same family, each one has a different goal. Each one has a different level of enthusiasm, a different level of effort. Something else becomes more dear to one as opposed to the other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes us to two opposite paths, two opposite efforts. From all these efforts, that all these efforts can be condensed into two general ones. So first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us three characteristics of one way. Then he will give us three characteristics of the opposite way, just the opposites. So the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّا. أَمَّا is a conditional harf. That's conditional, means Allah, it's a shart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as for the one, in other words, the one who does this will have this. And whenever amma comes frequently, it is followed by another amma, which is the opposite. As for the other one, if he does this, this is the consequence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a condition that the one who does these three things will have certain things in return. So what are those three things? He says, أما من, the one, أعطى. أعطى means who gives. And the word أعطى generally means who gives in abundance, as opposed to أتى. أتي. So أعطى, he gives in abundance. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't define, again leaves it open. Gives what? Because it's understood, and that's the style of the Quran. In the previous surah, Surah Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually tells you that the one who takes care of the orphan, the one who takes care of the, you know, previous surahs, it has been mentioned as to where to give. So that's known. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves it as one characteristic, that the one who gives. Now, giving can be your wealth, which is commonly what's understood. Now, how about the ones who don't have wealth? Who give of their time, who give of their talent, who give of their effort, who help people in any way. So who is giving? Is not one who's always taking and withholding. One who gives. That's the first condition. Number two, wattaqa, and has taqwa. And we've talked about taqwa in many, many different ways before. So what is taqwa? Generally, as we said, taqwa is to be conscious, aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a muraqabah of our own selves internally, what thoughts we are entertaining, what our desires are, and externally, by what our limbs, body is doing in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is an inner state, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at-taqwa hahuna, is inside. Anybody can claim to have taqwa. It has to have a translation in on the outside. So taqwa has both. Okay. So what does this taqwa produce? It produces that obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has ordered, I will do. What Allah has prohibited, he has made haram, I will stay away from. What Allah loves, that is mustahab, I will do my best. What Allah has made makruh, I will do my best to stay away from it. This is taqwa. Also, taqwa is to be always aware of the ni'mah of Allah, the ni'mah of Allah, his blessings at all times, so that we can always be in a state of shukr at all times. Because a person who is not in shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is kufr. Means he denies the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what taqwa is, that this person spends, gives, and then this person is always aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is fearful. Sometimes by giving, why should he be fearful? Because he may be fearful that I haven't given enough. Maybe he is fearful that I haven't given, maybe my ikhlas isn't as khalis as it should be. That my sincerity, my action lacked sincerity. So he has taqwa. And then the third characteristic, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Tasdeeq means to confirm, to believe in something. And it's not sufficient to say you believe, but you confirm it by your actions. Okay. So somebody says, oh, I believe la ilaha illallah, and then doesn't pray. That's not tasdeeq. Okay. Tasdeeq is to obey every commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Now, what is husna? Now, there are different opinions of the scholars, the mufassirun, of husna. In general, husna is like we say ahsan. Hasan means good. Ahsan is the superlative, the best. But the word ahsan is in Arabic masculine. For something that's masculine, you will say ahsan. If it's feminine, you say husna. So husna is the superlative that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, that this person confirms al-husna. What does confirm al-husna mean? So the opinions are, number one, some mufassirun have said that husna means the confirmation of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What is the confirmation? To believe internally and to show it by our actions, by obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both for the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of His creation. That's one opinion. The second opinion is that he believes that if he gives, Allah will return it to him manifold as a reward. That's also husna, one opinion. Another opinion is that husna is jannah. That for what this person is striving for, the effort, sa'yakum lashatta, that particular one who is doing these, is looking for Allah's Jannah. Another opinion is that this is the Quran, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire deen, because the best of all things, the husna, is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the opinions of different scholars, and it doesn't mean they're different, because you can put it all together. I believe Shawkani has put it together that everything that a person does to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under the envelope of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah would be called Al-Husna. So we confirm that by our actions and by the strength and sincere belief that this is the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is one person or one group of people whose effort, whose sa'i, whose endeavor in this life is to give to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to confirm all of this by their actions. So this is the condition. So what happens as a result of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore, as a consequence, سَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَ. As a consequence of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, sa means in the near future, we will make easy for him yusra. What is easy to do? We will smooth the path for this person for certain things. Now, what are those certain things? The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a general. Salah becomes not a burden, not difficult, can't get up, it's inconvenient, let's get it over, but becomes easy. Not only easy to do at all times, no matter where you are and how busy you are, it becomes easy as a facilitation from Allah. Fasanu yassiruhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy. Similarly, giving in zakat. similarly telling the truth, similarly being having beautiful akhlaq, all of that, everything that leads to Allah's pleasure, everything that leads to confirmation of La ilaha illallah, everything that leads to Jannah is made easy for this person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace. Why? Because he is doing those things, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this person do that. Now we have the opposite picture. First amma was these three. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa amma, the opposite. And as for the one, man bakhila wastaghna. Now we are going to opposite. The one was a'ta, who was giving, spending. Now, bakhil. Bakhil means, bukhil means stinginess. He's greedy for himself. He doesn't want to give. He cannot give. Bakhil. That's the characteristic of the other, that what Allah has given, because ultimately everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he does not give. He keeps for himself. Now generally what happens when you keep for yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may allow it to accumulate. When it accumulates, the wealth increases. And what does that increased wealth produce? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. Istaghna means to feel that I am self-sufficient. I don't need anybody. And most of all, I don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I have comfort, I have enough wealth. I know in my hard times, I can always look at my bank account, at my investments, at my, and I should be all set. So this person, in terms of their need, does not look towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but looks at their possessions, which they have accumulated by withholding and withholding, without having given. The one who Allah gives, who have given, are not included here, because there is certain rights on the wealth that who has given, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them on top of that superfluous. That's okay, because that's what Allah has written. But the one who withholds illegally by not giving, by being stingy, keeping for themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as a consequence of that, it gives him istighna. He feels self-sufficient. I don't need anyone. Which is a worse disease. Bakhil is bad because no bakhil is going to enter Jannah. But to feel istighna, that I don't need anything. I don't need anybody because I have everything. I don't need guidance. So this person rejects that too. And he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is only one ghani. So this person feels he is ghani, but he is not. He is nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is free of all needs. Al-ghani. Ghani ul-hamid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the opposite characteristics, the opposite path. This person withholds, doesn't spend, and feels he is independent, he doesn't need. And the third, the first one was Saddaqa bil Husna, who confirmed. This one, wa kadhaba bil Husna. And he denies all good things. He denies and rejects La ilaha illallah. He denies and says that I need to do good. Said, no, this is mine, I'll do what I want. I will spend the money the way I want because this is mine. So all the good things that he could have used his wealth and his talent, everything, he denies them. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Now, one person who has these three traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, the opposite, what is the consequence? The shart was, who does this? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will ease for him. We will smoothen the way to عُسْر. عُسْر means affliction, to difficulty, and the ultimate usr is the difficulty a person faces in Jahannam, the difficulty the person faces in the qabr. And even in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his heart dayiq, you know, constricted. He has, in spite of having all worldly possessions, he cannot find peace and tranquility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will ease his way to that. And it also means that Allah will then, because He's doing all of this, ease His way to doing evil. He will have more opportunities of evil open to him. He will have more opportunities of disobedience open to him. Just like for the other group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens obedience, opens ways of khair. Allah opens ways of shar for these people. That's the law, because of what they did. Now, there are several ahadith regarding this. One day, this is in Sahih Bukhari, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajhu, reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with us in Jannatul Baqi al-Warqad, in the cemetery. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the following. He said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ كُتِبَ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said, there is no one among you except that his place has already been written, either a seat, a place in paradise, or a seat in Jannah. It's already been written. So the Sahaba who were with him said, Ya Rasulullah, should we just depend on this? In other words, then we don't need to do anything else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'malu, no, do actions. فَكُلٌّ مُسَيِّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Because everyone will have made easy for him those deeds that lead to what was written for him. Whether paradise was written for him, then the ways of getting to paradise will be made easy for him. And if Jahannam is written for a person, that would be, those actions would be made easy for him. There are other narrations of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we act according to what has already been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is the matter up to us and then the results come? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, it is according to what has already been decided. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom created each one of us, He had already assigned. In another narration, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, when the angels come at, you know, 4 months put the ruh, or to breathe the ruh into the fetus in the womb, certain things are written. Whether he is going to be, you know, where his destination is going to be, whether he is going to be happy and sad and distressed and all of the miserable life, all of those things are already written for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written those things based on His foreknowledge of each individual. So each one of us already has a place assigned, except we don't know. Now, how can we get a hint of it? If you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up channels of goodness to do good things, one after other, more and more, more people appealing for funds, more people looking for help from you, more people, you know, making you do good deeds, giving you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving you companionship of good people, finding you good teachers, finding you good companions, finding you good spouse, supplying them for you, not finding you. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended khair for you. This is a general. We also know that sometimes by our actions, things can change in the end because we didn't know where we were going to go. So this is an indication. We should never, if we feel those, we shouldn't feel proud. We should take every opportunity of good. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Every opportunity of good, if Allah gives us, if 5,000 people ask us for money, and if we have, we should give to 5,000 people and look for more, because we are investing. We are investing because the returns that will come are greater, much greater. You know, just like in the dunya, what do? Somebody who has some savings, they like to invest it so it grows. And generally, the people who advise us tell us to diversify, put some in real estate, hold some in cash, put some in gold, put some in stocks, put, you know, all of those, diversify so that your chances of losing it is low and your chances of getting is more. Now, if sometimes they say it will become double or it will become three or four fold, if you knew everything was going to, everybody would put it like that. But those are just, sometimes it happens. But here we have guaranteed return minimum. What you give will be multiplied tenfold. There is nothing in the dunya where there is a guarantee of even doubling. So the smart one diversifies his akhirah portfolio by doing every kind of good. Of course, the faraid first and then the nawafil. I'm not satisfied with just doing my fard and my sunnah. I want to do more nafil salas. I want to do tahajjud. I want to do duha. I'm not just satisfied by giving zakah. I want to give more sadaqah. I want to do more and more. I'm not satisfied by knowing a little bit. I want to know more. I want to do every opportunity so that that's my investment and my return will be according to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we will see and we will have ease in what we are doing. Similarly, the opposite, that the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his wisdom and out of his foreknowledge has destined this person for Jahannam will have all kinds of worldly things open for him which lead to disobedience. One of which is wealth. Because wealth frequently makes people unconscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Frequently when you have too much, what do? You spend it either in extravagance of buying and buying and buying, or for show, which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or just to hold, and then it gives you the sense of arrogance. I am the wealthiest. And today the society has become like this, you know, the rich and the famous, and everybody is looking up to this. You know, who is the richest? Today this one is, tomorrow that one. But what is it internally? What is it doing? Are they satisfied? Are they happy? Are they discontented? What is going on? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the one who is heading in that right path, gives them contentment with what they have. Even if they have nothing, they are happy internally and they are in sukoon and they have tranquility and they have peace of mind, they sleep well. Whereas a person may have a lot of wealth and be in complete misery. And even after they die, it may be means of misery. We saved all of this and we see these examples. We just had an example. People leave millions of dollars worth of property. Now the children are fighting and killing each other over it. Okay. So what did it get you? So that's what we have to understand. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you have to make effort because you don't know where your end is. But if you find certain things becoming easy for you, which is goodness, alhamdulillah, it may be a bashara. And we should also become very concerned if we were doing good and we are doing less and less. And even worse, if we are now starting to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobey missing our salah, disobey in lying, disobey in guarding our tongues, in guarding our eyes, guarding our private parts, all of those things, if we are becoming lax with that, that may be a warning sign that I'm heading in the wrong direction. My sa'i is not where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me. So now, after describing these three conditions of the second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this person whose path in the dunya has been made easy towards evil and wealth, and he feels that he is ghani, he is not in need of anyone, self-sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. إِذَا تَرَدَّى means when he is thrown down. تَرَدَّى, to be flung down. So this تَرَدَّى, the Mufassirun have taken two meanings. One is death, which means that the person is being thrown into his, lowered into his grave. And the majority opinion is that this refers to Jahannam. That this person reached the end of that path, which in the end, after the grave, is Jahannam. So when this person who was denying, كذب بالحسنى, who thought he was self-sufficient, and all of that, most of it stemming from all the wealth that he had and the power and connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, none of that, ma yughni, it will not suffice him, maluhu. All that he felt so comfortable with will be worth nothing. It will come to no avail. If anything, it will be questioned. And just, you know, this last week, I just heard this morning, that one of the wealthy people of this area of Western Mass died at the age of 106, and most of his stuff has been given in charity, because he's quoted as having said that, I don't want to be the richest person in the graveyard. Now, if we can understand that while we are alive, that's even better. Okay? Because after we die, it didn't belong to us anyway. It would be divided according to what Allah has said. So we have to give while we can. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that which he feels so much comfort in, that he feels so proud of, that which he gives him this sense of istighna, of self-sufficiency, it will count for zero, neither in the grave nor in Jahannam, because it can't save you in any way. There are many ahadith and ayahs of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the person in Jahannam, if he could give the whole world in gold to ransom him out of Jahannam, it would not be accepted. So this wealth will come to nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna alayna lalhuda. Indeed, on us is huda, guidance. Upon us is guidance. One understanding is that it is only Allah who guides. It is upon us who to guide. And as we know, guidance is what? To show the difference between right and wrong. To show the difference between tawheed and shirk. To show the difference between good akhlaq and bad akhlaq. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed in us, as we have learned in previous surah, that when he created us, he programmed in us the difference between right and wrong. So we already had that level of guidance genetically. Then once we become aqil, when we become understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another level of guidance, which is the Quran, which is the risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all previous anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave people without guidance, so that nobody can say that. So besides programming us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we send to you guidance on us. What is the guidance? To show you all what is right, what is wrong. To show you what Allah is pleased with. To show you what is halal, what is haram. The second understanding of inna alayna lil huda means, and to us is the guidance. What does that mean? That the guidance, again, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purview, that he is the one who gives, alayna, towards us. In other words, the guidance Allah gives, what is the goal of that? You know, when you ask for guidance, you have a goal, you want to reach somewhere. Where do you want to reach? Us, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is the qasdu sabil, as he says elsewhere in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us that. What is it? My goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can say, well, my goal is Jannah. But ultimately, what is Jannah a product of? Of Allah's pleasure. Because we don't, even with all of these things that we are supposed to do, good deeds, amal, will not enter anyone into Jannah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, it is said, it's only the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are entered by the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the what he has already destined for us, but we have to do these because it will give us different levels of Jannah. Okay. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ultimate, what is the ultimate pleasure? Ultimate pleasure in Jannah is what? The vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all of Jannah with all of its infinite pleasures will become meaningless and will fade once a person sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some of our scholars have said, that there is a Jannah in the dunya also. And the one who doesn't enter the Jannah in the dunya will not enter the Jannah of the Akhirah. What is the Jannah of the dunya? to feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel that uns, that intimacy with Allah, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peace and tranquility that comes under all challenges. When we are in difficulty, we feel that nearness. When we are in pleasure and plenty, we feel. So whether it's paucity, whether it's plenty, we have connection with Allah. That is the anchor that we are looking for. That removes all anxiety, removes all stress, removes all depression, removes all of those things, which doesn't mean that you don't have emotions of sadness and happiness. All of those are okay. But the person does not get dislodged completely. Okay? Because he has that anchor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the Jannah of the dunya. That if he has billions, he is still connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what he is. And if it all goes, he's still connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter. The person may have nothing. I was just reading the story few days ago about one of the people of the Mu'tazilite who was so poor that one day he ate mud because he had nothing. So there have been people, yet they are content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, what did he used to eat? Hard barley bread, which most people would have trouble chewing and swallowing. That's what he, and was he content? Was he happy? Was he pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course. So it is what the contentment and happiness and pleasure is what Allah gives as a taste of the contentment, pleasure and happiness of the akhirah, of Jannah. So the guidance to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna alayna lal huda. It is on us. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta. You cannot guide who you want. Allah yahdi man yasha ila sirata mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to whom he wants. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept with himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa inna lana lal akhirata wal ula. And Allah's sovereignty, His kingdom, His milkiyah is the akhirah and the ula, what came before, which is the dunya. Everything in the akhirah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will give and assign what He wants to whom He will, in whatever quantity He will. Everything in the dunya belongs to Allah. He will give what He wants, how much He wants, when He wants, as He wants. Through means, without means. Everything belongs to Him. And that is easy to understand. Now, once we understand that everything belongs to Him, doesn't it then become yusr, ease? No, let me give it. Let me spend. Why? Because it's not mine to start with. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us and then says, give me a goodly loan, qardan hasana. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us. After giving us, He asks us to spend something from that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a bashir and a nadir. One who gives glad tidings of the Jannah, of Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward, and nadir who warns of his anger, warns of his punishment, of his jalal, of the Jahannam, and so on and so forth. And so he was told to warn people of the Jahannam. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, warn people. Now in this ayah that's coming, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not warning through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After telling us all of this, he is saying, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ, and I have warned you. And this is in past tense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I have warned you about the fire that is raging, blazing, taladha. So nobody can say, I didn't get the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine one message comes through a messenger, which is good enough. But here the king himself is giving the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so this should be the ultimate. Allah is saying, the one who created that naran talada, that I warn you. In other words, don't take that path that we just talked about, the second of those paths of denial, of holding you know, of doing evil. Because after easing all of that, I am going to put you in that hellfire that is blazing. And I am warning you. In other words, don't take that path. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, who are the people destined for that? He says, La yaslaha illa al-ashqa. No one will enter it except the ashqa. What is ashqa? Shaqi is the miserable, he's bad. And ashqa is the superlative form of it. The worst, the most wretched, the most evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no one will enter it except that. Means the most evil people will enter it, will have to endure that fire. What is the characteristic of this? Going back to previous reference. Alladhi kadhaba wa tawalla. First of all, kadhaba, he denied. Before, kadhaba bil husna. Here, alladhi kadhaba, he just said. What did he deny? He denied la ilaha illallah. He denied Allah's existence. He denied accountability, hisab. He denied Day of Judgment. He denied Jahannam. He denied that there are rewards and punishments. He denied there is life after death. Kadhaba. In his belief, he didn't believe. Denied it. The message came to him. The warning of Allah came to him. The warning from the messenger came to him. The bashara came to him. The guidance came to him. He denied. And not only did he deny inside in his belief, wa tawalla. Tawalla means to turn away. Action. By his actions he denied. So not only did he not believe inside, he was not like the munafiq, because munafiq didn't believe but would do good deeds and would join in salah. This one denied and then turned away from all of that. He rejected it by his actions. When he was called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, no, I'm turning away. When he was called, for example, by someone asking a needy, give me something, he turned away from his, turned his face. No, gave him the back. So he turned away from all good things. So this is the one who is going to be ashqa, the worst of the worst, will be in Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. That was ashqa, the worst. Atqa means the one who has the most taqwa. وَسَيُجَنُّ, and we will soon move away, move to the side, or save. Who? The one who has the most taqwa, who is the most God-fearing, who is the most muttaqi. He will be saved from that. Naran taladda. Fortunately, it's Allah's mercy that the way these wordings are, it is not like the one who is going to be in Jahannam. Because in that one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no one will enter it except the ashqa. If the structure was the same, it would mean nobody would be saved from it except the atqa. In other words, only the most muttaqi would be saved. But this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is his mercy, he says. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى means the one who have most taqwa will certainly be saved, but it doesn't mean that who have less taqwa will go in Jahannam. Okay? Anyone who's striving has any degree of taqwa, any degree. It doesn't have to be atqa, but the goal is to be atqa. The most taqwa will be saved from it, would be turned away from it. And what are the characteristic again of this? Because this matches with the three that we talked about. What does he do? Alladhi yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka. He shows his taqwa by yu'ti, by giving ma lahu, his wealth, yatazakka, to purify himself, to purify his wealth. Give zakah. Okay. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions about giving maal. Before one was a'ata, spend, and can be everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying the characteristic of this person who will be saved from naran taladda is that he gives from his wealth to purify, purify his own greed, his own attachment to the wealth, because wealth produces attachment. The more you have, the more attachment. And once you get attachment and hub for mal, that heart cannot have hub and attachment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist in a heart which is attached to other than him. So we should remember that. And what is it? To purify. His intention is to purify himself from that greed, from that attachment, and to purify his wealth and make the rest of it halal. The minimum of which is to give 2.5%, one part out of 40. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies a little bit about this spending. He says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. That the one he is giving, he is not giving because that guy did something for him in the past, so he is compensating him. Or he is giving to someone expecting a jaza from him later on, that I will get this in return. Allah, he's not doing it for these base reasons. You know, returning someone's favor or expecting some favor, a jaza, from someone else. So, what does he do it for? إِلَّا بْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. He only does it for no other reason except seeking, looking for, longing for, وَجْه means countenance, رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى, of his countenance, which means the pleasure of his Lord, the Most High. And when a person thinks of his Lord as Most High, what does he then feel himself? I am the lowest. He doesn't feel that istighna. He feels humility and humbleness, because he knows there's only one who is Al-A'la, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is giving for only with the sincere purpose that maybe my Rabb will be pleased with me. And this also comes in Surah Dahr. Allah said that we don't give you for anything in return, we are doing this only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This comes in many places. So our intentions should always be to do it seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa btigha'a wajhi rabbihi al-a'la. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And this, normally the lam is for ta'keed, to stress. And you know, indeed, sawfa means in the future, yarda, he will be well pleased. But there is also what is called lamul qasam. And the scholars have said that's what this is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I swear that he will be well pleased. Who is this he who has done all of these things? What is well pleased means? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying only in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity extends throughout existence, dunya and akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I swear that the one who does this, who does spends, who is sincere for Allah's pleasure, who saddaqa bil husna, and who confirms all of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him so pleased with what he gets as a compensation. For what should he expect for return of his money? One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is looking for purification, the zakah, Allah will purify him. What else will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do in this life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill the believer's heart and soul with everything that is beautiful, that radiates around him, that helps people feel that goodness. That is the reward. He will be satisfied and take pleasure in his deen and the practices of his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove doubts and shak and laziness and all of those things. That he will be pleased to have raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased to have Allah's man. Wa islam deen wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyyu wa rasoola. He is pleased with all of that. That will be sincerely. He will be pleased with the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dunya, what he goes through, whether it's hardship or whether it's ease, whether it's poverty, whether it's plenty. He will be content in the dunya with whatever befalls him of comfort or discomfort, poor or wealthy. He will be free of anxiety. Allah will remove those feelings of depression and hopelessness. He does not worry, even if he has nothing, where will my rizq come? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your rizq, and in the heavens is your rizq and what you have been promised. So, and he believes in that. Allah will provide for me, even though there is no means I see where it is coming from. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all of his burdens in this life and make things, goodness, easy for him. He will give him satisfaction. He will give him peace and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his death on thabat, on the deen, on the kalima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the grave a place of pleasure for this person. And ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the hardships of the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him honor and shade on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter this person into paradise, which is the ultimate. And then the ultimate in paradise is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am pleased with you and I will never be displeased. So all of those will be what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala sawfa yarda. What I will give him, he will be so pleased, there will be nothing that he will desire after. All this for what? For what he did, how he treated, which path, which sa'i he took, the path to Allah's pleasure. So that, in summary, tells us, because we need to be reminded, because we live in a capitalistic society where the focus is on wealth for non-Muslims and for Muslims. We are just as guilty, you and me, all of us, that we want more and more and more. If Allah were to make us a billionaire, what kind of a fitna that would do? First of all, I can't eat a billion's worth. Number two, will that move me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will that give me kibr and arrogance? Will that make me show off to people, call people, look what I have, look what I've achieved, like Qarun? Will that make me heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will that make me perform shirk in the means of those things, that now I'm comfortable, I don't need, will it be that the first thing that happens, Allah comes to my mind, that Allah will provide? So, having wealth can be a blessing, but more often than not, it is a challenge, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said, for every ummah, there is a fitna, a trial. And he says, fitna to ummati al-mal. The fitna, the trial, is for my ummah, the character is wealth. And we see Muslims behaving like everybody else once they come into money. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua. He said, Ya Allah, give to Ali Muhammad. What should he give? Risk. What kind of risk? Quta. It's just sufficient. Not that it becomes a challenge. Not that it becomes something that makes us further from Allah. Not that makes us feel forgetful of Allah. And ma'adallah, that makes us feel that I don't need Allah. What is that kind of wealth? That is a recipe for disaster. So what we have, if it is sufficient, we should be. We don't ask. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sought refuge from faqr, that you don't have enough, then it leads you to another situation. We have sufficient, and what Allah gives, I have qana'ah. The greatest wealth is to have qana'ah, which is to feel content with what we have. That is the greatest wealth. Because otherwise we can have in numerical numbers and amounts, and yet we don't feel satisfied. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a clear understanding of the true worth of wealth. And the wealth can be used in many good things. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us a lot of wealth, that we use it for His pleasure. That we spend a lot of it. And we know that we will get it back. That we use it as an opportunity for Allah's pleasure and for the rewards, not for any other, not to look generous in front of, not to expect rewards from people, recognition, even a thank. Okay. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to understand that what we have belongs to Allah. And it's going to be left here. So why not use it as much as possible? Minimum of which is to make sure that we fully give zakat and it's little more just as a safety net. And then give more in sadaqah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease that, and that giving will start giving pleasure to the person. Like salah, for some people is a burden, it's a hardship. But for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? It is qurratu ayn. Juwalat salah qurratu ayn. Okay. That for me, the salah has been made a pleasure for my eyes. So everything good will become pleasurable. That's what we ask. And doing that, being aware of Allah's rights upon us at all times, to Him and to His creatures, and keeping this focus that everybody's running in different direction. I don't need to be distracted. I need to have one focus. I have one path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day for that guidance. The goal at the end of that path is Allah's pleasure, is Allah Himself. My goal is Allah, not anything else. So we keep that focus, and if we see we are doing good things, we thank Allah and do more. And if we see we are doing something else, we do a lot of istighfar and turn away from things that may be leading us to that usr. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand this and to implement this in our lives. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are among the atqa. Now, some of the mufassirun have said that some of these ayats were specifically revealed regarding As-Siddiq, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, because he was of those who did all of these things. You know, when the early Muslims were being, and especially those who were slaves were being tortured, he would buy them and release them, give them freedom. And in fact, Abu Quhafa, his father, said that, "I hear you buy all of these weak slaves and women and you free them. Why don't you buy the strong ones? So when you free them, they can defend you. They can be of use for you." He said, "I'm not doing it for my benefit. I'm doing it for Allah's pleasure." So he did all of these things. So when it says atqa, the most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the general consensus is that the one with atqa in this ummah is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu. So some have said that some of these ayahs, because he did all of those things, were specifically for, in the revelation was about him, to highlight his nobility, his goodness. But they are general. Everybody should aspire for that. They are not just for him. So that's another angle that I had forgotten. So inshallah, we will end with that and open it up for comments and questions and answers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.